Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be with you here in Lurgan, and greetings from the brothers and sisters in Points Pass as well, only down the road, not too much further distance to come this morning. So it is a real joy to be with you, and as I look across the congregation, I have to be honest and say there's only a few of you that I know, but it is just a real joy, as I say, to be here and to have that fellowship with you. And hopefully maybe get to know some more of you as well this morning. We're going to turn in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, and we're going to take time to read the full chapter. Romans chapter 12, and I have to be very honest with you, I've been studying through this throughout the week, and Colin read a few verses from Romans this morning. As soon as he said Romans, I started to panic a little bit. But then he went into chapter 8. But do you want to know something? Just what he read confirmed what I want to share with you this morning. And I really feel that the Lord has laid it on my heart, obviously laid those verses on Colin's heart. And I want to, again, praise the Lord for that this morning. We're going to read from verse 1. I beseech you, there, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man that measure of the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And love, or let love be without dissimulation. Now that word dissimulation, I just want to clarify. We read over words and sometimes we don't know what they mean. So I just want to clarify that one for you, because it's not one that we use every day. But it means to be without concealment of one's thoughts, feelings, our character, or just really allowing our love to shine through in everything that we do. There's no pretense to it. It's just we are showing Christ's love. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condensed to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to us this morning. I wonder, as we read down that portion of Scripture, did you recognize yourself? Because there's lots there. And what we're going to be looking at this morning is really that last verse. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, whenever we think of overcoming evil, and we think about the things that are going on around us, and we're always tending to think about those that are going on outside of us as such, or about us every day. And we really are focused so much in what's going on. We maybe even don't class ourselves as being evil in general. But Jesus was very clear when describing the evil that is within. And that's something, as I say, we don't focus on very often. We focus on, and there's lots of evil going on. And we could stand here all day and we could all be able to contribute nearly to something that is evil in this world, something that's going on today, something that affects us, something that even we find hard to work with. But evil is such a big thing in our world today. But what about the evil within? You see, what happened in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, the Lord Jesus says this, and he didn't hit and miss a wall whenever he said this. And friends, we need to be so careful where these things are concerned in this day and age. This is what Mark 7, verse 21 through to 23 says. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lavishness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So friends, let us not deceive ourselves this morning. There is such a thing as the evil within. Even for us as believers, we are in this, living in this world, and there are times whenever things compass us, get the hold of us, and really take us away from even what the Lord would want for us in our lives. And it's so easy and so quick to get caught out. Whether it be even that time of anger that just comes out of you, or whatever it be. Sometimes it even mentions here in this portion of Mark about the eyes, and how the eyes can bring evil into our hearts. How our tongues, friends, can speak again. And that's only touching the surface of it all. And you know, really, whenever you look at the list there that we read off in Mark chapter 7, and even looking back into Romans chapter 12, it can be quite depressing. But you know, we can look in the Scriptures as well, friends, and we can see examples of men who fell because of their evil thoughts. You know, right back at the beginning of time, man fell very easily because Satan, in his evil deceit, deceived Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had that desire, and they ate of the tree that they were told not to. Cain, he brought evil against Abel. David, with his eyes, King David, with his eyes, well, he looked down and he planned in his mind evil against Uriah in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Ananias plotted with Sapphira, his wife. Peter, in his temper, cut off a soldier's ear, and then he lied about knowing the Lord Jesus. You see, evil, it's all around us. And Satan wants to pull us down. And as I say, we just can't sit here in the pews, or I can't stand here in front of you this morning and say that I am innocent. We all have this ability, this evilness around us, and it's so easy to get caught up in it. Young people this morning, it's great to see you this morning. I want to thank you for coming out and coming out with your parents. It's a real joy to see you out in the service. But I want just to challenge you this morning as well, because there seems to be a thing, it's a strange disease that's going about in this day and age. It seems to come from the hand, and it seems to be called phonitis, okay? Young people with phones now, you're going to say, oh, here we go. My mum and dad's always on at me about having the phone in my hand. But it's true, you do. And do you want to know something? Sometimes I'm guilty, and my wife Denise turns around to me and she says, Nigel, will you get rid of that old phone? And I could be scrolling through Facebook or something like that, and I'm not going to say it. But do you want to know something? There's things that come up on my phone that I shouldn't be looking at. And you know, evil can be in your hand. You can take it in through your eyes, and then it goes into your heart. And then it starts influencing you, and you might think, oh, no. Oh, yes. And I just want you to think about the simple little things that we take for granted in life that can have such a big effect on us. I don't believe for 1 minute that King David, whenever he got up that morning, thought that he was going to have these evil thoughts about another lady. And then he was going to have her husband killed. I don't believe he got up in the morning, but whenever his eyes seen, it got into his heart. And then that was just the evil just flowed through. So it's so easy. And all of us are vulnerable in this day and age. So there's that evil within. And I don't think any one of us should underestimate that. And then there's the evil without. Okay, so whenever we were looking at this portion of Scripture, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, we often know that in church life, things can get a little bit heated. Okay, and we've maybe experienced it once in a while in our lives. And I want just to challenge you this morning, amongst yourselves as believers here, remember that there's a testimony to withhold, and it is important that things are done rightly whenever we go about sorting things out. And friends, there's lots of things going on around us, never mind having them within our church as well. All of us, friends, have been hurt at one stage or another. All of us have been. And friends, we all know that there are plenty without in this world who have been persecuted for their faith, and they're still going on today, and we're starting to see it more and more coming even into our own little country here. Just going back a number of years ago, we've seen the MacArthur family who were lambasted and publicly put on trial for the stand that they took. And we see moral standards diminished, and friends, how they're corroded and warped, and how even our teachers are now being told they're having to teach things in school that are totally against Scripture, that have no moral standards at all. And this world doesn't seem to have any moral standards in it anymore. We are being told to be respectful and accepting to a world that neither respects or is accepting to the things that we hold dear. Evil is all around us. Satan is on the run, and he's working hard because he knows his time is running out. And that's why we as believers need to be so much on our guard in this day and age. It's nearly as if you can be anything else in this world. You can be anything else in this world except a Christian, because they will point the finger always at the Christians. And you only have to watch on your TVs, and you see things happening maybe on social media, and you see how Christians are being questioned and cornered and on their faith all the time. And that's why we need to be faithful to God's word and make sure young people as well and everyone else here as well, make sure that you're grounded in God's Word. Read God's Word, study it, and make sure you're here at the Bible readings. Make sure that you're here on the Sunday meetings. Make sure that you read God's Word during the week. Get yourself bedded in God's Word, because evil is all around us. I was even thinking about how the Ukrainian brothers and sisters, I don't know whether you've had them here or not, but the ones that Donald Fleming brought across and are now living up in Ballymoney and in that surrounding area, you know, because of evil in this world today, you know, they've lost their homes. Families have been split. Churches have been burnt to the ground. And I would find that very difficult to think about how they've had to flee and leave everything that they know behind. Northern Ireland itself has known over the years many troubles. You know, this place, there were evil men and women who carried out evil deeds, and many innocent people were affected in horrific ways. Evil. Friends, Satan is busy. And friends, he's the driver of all evil. You can be sure of that. So friends, enough is enough. I'm not going to give Satan the place this morning. And I want us to think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our lives. You see, we can say this morning that we have been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb and redeemed through Jesus Christ. And unto God, we have our Heavenly Father. We have that communion with Him because of what Christ did on our behalf. We're justified, just as if we'd never sinned. And friends, if we had read on down, or if we read back onto the verses that we had read earlier in Romans, in verse 2 and verse 16, we see about how we are challenged about the renewing of our minds. Your thinking, your attitudes, your love. Verse 4 tells us about giving and helping and encouraging. And friends, our body, mind, and spirit all complement each other. And friends, whenever our body does good, this encourages the mind. And this is how we live as Christians today. I wonder, do you live your life? Do people know that you're saved? Now, there are many people have different thoughts on this in general, but I remember whenever I was young, we used to go, I lived in Belfast, was brought up in Belfast. And on a Sunday evening, we used to go to Newcastle for a walk down the street. I think it was more a chance maybe to see if there's any young ladies about, but that's what we used to do anyway. Even there was times, I don't even know what possessed us to go to Portrush, but we used to go up to Portrush or Port Stewart there as well from Belfast, just for the evening, like, you know, as you do. But we used to go up to Newcastle, and, you know, you could tell, but you could see that how things started to fade away a wee bit, because you could tell whenever you're walking down the street in Newcastle on a Sunday night after church, what groups of young people that were about were Christians and those who weren't, just simply by the way that they were dressed. And then it started to fade away a little bit, and you could see the difference, because what some of the young people were doing, they were going home and they're bringing a change of clothes with them, and they were sort of melting into the world, and you couldn't tell the difference then. Some churches today have exactly the same situation, where you walk in and you think it's a concert hall. Friends, we are to be separate from this world. Satan is doing everything to bring this world down, and we shouldn't have any part of it. We are his, and he is ours. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You see, those words, having done all, they simply mean having overcome all. And friends, I want us to look at the overcomer. You see, in the verse here, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, the evil within. God has provided every single one of our needs. Now, I don't know you personally here this morning, but I can tell you from the age of 7, whenever I got saved, I can tell you that the Lord has looked after me every step of the way, and I praise him this morning for that. I have had those valley experiences. I have had those mountaintop experiences, and I'm sure each one of you can testify in your own lives to similar situations. But he has been with me every step of the way, and I praise him this morning. You see, I don't want to live as this world. I want to live for Christ. And I wonder, do you have that desire in your heart? Now, what I want you to understand this morning is that we have this aspect in our life. So what we're probably, or what some of us are maybe thinking, yes, I'll have to do better about that situation in my life. I can't be just, maybe just as I present myself in such a way and work that I do. I need to try harder. Friends, it's not about you. It's about him who liveth in you as a believer. And we need to hear what the Lord has provided. Are you ready? The overcomer. Here's two beautiful verses for you this morning. First of all, the evil within. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, you may be thinking this morning, how am I going to do it? Leave it with the Lord. He is the overcomer. Your Savior has provided, by giving his life on Calvary's cross, something absolutely amazing that this world cannot claim. And that is that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because whenever we give our lives to the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within each one of us. What about the evil without? What about all the things that are going on in this world today? Now, we shouldn't be ignorant to them. We need to be guarding towards them and against them. But John chapter 16, verse 33, the Lord Jesus himself says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace in the world. You might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, there's the evil within and the evil without. And God has sent his Son to deal with it all. He has provided an overcomer. And friends, the minute that you sit there and you go, I'll have to try a wee bit, but I'll have to do something else about that, is the minute that you need to actually think, hold on a minute. It's not about me. It's about him who liveth in you. You see, whenever we look back at those gentlemen and ladies that we mentioned earlier, in the sense of Cain and Abel, and David, and Ananias, and Peter, you look at their own circumstances, and you see how evil came very easily to their hearts. Paul, when writing in the Galatians, wrote these words in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, friends, this morning, I wonder, as we look at the overcomer, I wonder what's going through your mind. Now, I'm going to do something this morning, sometimes that I do whenever I can get away with this once. It's a wee illustration, but I need you all to take part in your own seats this morning. I don't know how you are with maths, so this will hopefully, you know, everybody, I want everybody to try this, because this is something just to see whether it works this morning. So I want us all to think of a number between 1 and 10. Colin's struggling already. I want you to double it. Add 8. Divide by 2. And take away the number that you first thought of. Are you all with me? I hope I didn't. Okay, so you've all got a number in your head, okay? Keep that there. So what I want you to do is now put that number to a letter in the alphabet. Okay, so if you've got 1, it's A, 2B, 3C, 4D, 5, so on. So I want you to put that number to a letter in the alphabet. And I want you to think of a country beginning with that letter. Okay, we're coming to the end, don't worry. And then take the next letter in the alphabet and think of an animal. Okay, so now you've got a country and an animal in your head. All right, now I'm looking down upon yous all here. I'm hoping that yous are all with me, or I'm with yous. But most of you, anyway, should be thinking of elephants in Denmark. Yeah, I'm getting a few nods. People getting. If you didn't get the number 4, by the way, don't tell anybody, all right? Okay? But you'll always end up with the number 4. But the reason why I did that wee illustration this morning is because I personally can't read your minds. I can't. I don't know what's in your heart this morning. Yes, that was just a little illustration. But you know, God does. God knows what's in your mind this morning. He knows if you're watching evil things. He knows if you're reading things that you shouldn't be reading. He knows that if you're getting involved in things that you shouldn't be getting involved in. He knows that if your temper is short and you're allowing Satan to take control of your life in different aspects. He knows. But friends, he's the overcomer. And he can deal with those situations that we struggle with even as believers this morning. Not one of us is perfect, but in Christ we are justified. In Christ, he has taken our sins away once and for all. Praise the Lord. And friends, it's not about us. It's all about him. And we need to give it to him. We need his help. Friends, this morning, let us leave it with Christ. Let us lean on him. Let's learn to be more like him. Let's live for him. Day by day. Just in closing, one of the great hymn writers, P.B. Bliss, wrote this wonderful hymn. Maybe it could be your prayer. I'd say it's entitled My Prayer. And he wrote this beautiful hymn. More holiness give me. More strivings within, more patience in suffering, more sorrow for sin, more faith in my Savior, more sense of his care, more joy in his service, more purpose in prayer. More gratitude give me, more trust in the Lord, more zeal for his glory, more hope in his word. More tears for his sorrows, more pain at his grief. More meekness in trial, more praise for relief. More purity give me, more strength to overcome. More freedom from earth stains, more longings for home. More fit for the kingdom, more used would I be more blessed and holy, more Savior likely. It's not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And friends, praise the Lord. He has provided the overcomer of all things. He's provided for all our needs. Even our weaknesses, he's provided for them in Christ Jesus, who is the overcomer. May the Lord bless these three thoughts to you this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning that we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, we can all look at our lives and we know that you know us better than we know ourselves. And sometimes we can fool ourselves, oh, it'll be okay, oh, I can handle that. And Lord, how evil gets within so easily. Lord, we do pray for the situations within our own lives that need dealt with. We do pray for the evil that is without all those things that are going around and about us. And Father, we do pray that we know that this world is not our home and we're just passing through, but Father, help us to be faithful. Faithful to your word. Embedded in your word. Help us, Lord, to put you first. And Father, we know that you will work in our lives. And Father, that you will make us into the people that you want us to be. Father, only you. Father, may we learn to surrender as we sing quite often, I surrender all. Father, help us to do that in reality. So Lord, please be with each person here. Father, you know each one of us. Father, you know each one of our situations. You know our sorrows and our joys. Father, will you bless us? Will you speak to someone even this morning, Lord, who doesn't know you as their Savior? Father, will you reveal to them that you can be their everything? And we pray as well for the message that goes forth from the fountain this afternoon. Lord, please, we pray, save souls. We leave ourselves in your hands just now, dear Lord, and we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Thanks to Nigel this morning for that word from Scripture, and we pray that the Lord will continue to bless him and all that he does there in Pines Pass. Our closing hymn then, as we stand to sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. we just pray this morning that as these words have reminded us, that we would give thee all of our heart and take it and seal it as we await thy courts above. Bless your word today, we pray. And for those that must leave us now, take them to their homes in safety and bless us that remain. As we remember the Lord Jesus, may our hearts be filled with appreciation for the one who bore the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen.